Let's start with, this is a recap. As I promised, we'll do it for about 4 weeks to make sure that people can join us and understand what we're talking about. And we start developing the concept of desire. What is desire? What is desire? I mean, how desire came about. I mean, we take desire very for granted. I mean, we think, you just want. But what if I tell you that you want because there is a force I want to give you? There's a force I want to give you. What if I tell you that before you were created and before God as we know it being created, before the universe as we know it being created, it was a creation of one thing only. It's called a desire. Just a desire. This whole thing that we experience is experiential of desire. Everything come to an expression. Everything come into the surface of physicality based on how much desire there is within it. But we gotta go deep into it. So, the idea is like that. Last week, we end up with the concept of E and his name, Arwand. E referred to the force of giving, the light. And his name referred to the force of receiving, the vessel. So E, the light who's giving, his name, the vessel who's receiving, are one. They are unification. Now, the difficult time that we have to understand it, if E and his name are one, why are we calling them different name? If it's E and his name are one, then E and his name should have one name. That's really the developing of the subject for tonight before we are getting deep into the idea of understanding. And if there is no difference between the giving and the receiving, and they are absolutely in unity, the whole concept of that desire basically become the cause and the reason lebriata olamot, to create this universe and to manifest all the perfection and his name and his nickname, as Rabbi Isaac Luria explained to us. What is Rabbi Isaac Luria telling us? The light itself is exist. But if there is nothing that brings that light to an expression, then the light that exists cannot be experienced or cannot be seen or cannot be touched or cannot be understood, cannot be reached as something that exists. It's a potential energy that needs an expression that coming through a desire. And for that reason, the force that called the light, the force that called the Ein Sof, the force that called the endless, created a desire. So each desire that they've been created from beginning of time, it's a desire to receive all what the light want to give. If I want to give an example, I want to give you this pen. So I need to create somebody or someone or something who can receive this pen. So now that your desire is actually a passive desire. You want it because I told you to want it. So the original desire, that's how it looked like. The original desire, the light want to give everything. And for that reason, there is a vessel who want to receive everything. The light want to give everything called endless light. The receiver want to receive everything called endless vessel. Both made from the same DNA. No different. No different between them. That concept called Uveshmo Echad. E and his name are one. E referred to the force of giving. His name referred to the force of receiving. We continue. So what's the purpose of all of it? What's the purpose of creating all the words and human and animal and vegetables and minerals until the physicality? What's the purpose of desire? What's the purpose of all of it? If he created the his name, if E, which is the fulfillment, creating all the desire, and eventually will receive all what he wanted to give, what kind of game are we playing here? We are talking about before Genesis, before Adam and Eve, before God as we know God. We are talking before all of all before. So what is going on here? The force that want to give? I'm going to create a few receiver, and then I'm going to fulfill them. And that's the name of the game. Where is it going? The point is that creation, try to imagine that this is happening in the beginning and it's come way down all the way to our physical universe. Because what is our physical universe? What's the joke about this physical universe? Our desire is too small. Doesn't matter how greedy you are, your desire is it's a joke. Every desire you're gonna have, I'm gonna laugh at it. Compare to what? To endless desire. You cannot understand endless desire. Can you? Have you ever experienced? Did you ever think about it? Keep thinking, but you cannot comprehend, you cannot grasp the concept of endless desire. Okay? We are far away. Far away, not physically, far away from the awareness, the frequency, the consciousness of understanding endless desire. So what are we doing here? What's the purpose of humanity? In this universe, nitna makom la'avoda. This is the only place that we can do the work, through the Torah, of course, through the mitzvot, through the precept. Shelo al manat lekabel ala rak la'ashpia. What is the purpose of all this evolution of desire? Because in the beginning, the desire was very simple. The light want to give. That's why that force, not us, vessel, need to receive. Until it evolve, billion time evolve, and it's creation of our universe as we know it. What's the purpose? Because in this physical universe, you gotta practice how you receive it. שלא על מנת לקבל אלא רק להשפיע נחת רוח לצורו ברוך הוא, נעזב כל התשובות להפך צורת הרצון לקבש בהם, פרי המנתי לצורת הרצון להשפיע, כלומר לקבל מהרציל כדי להשפיע נחת רוח, לא. יות רוצה כן. Tell us Ravash, like in the name of Dari, we came to this physical universe, we have within us desires. Some are wrong desire, some are good desire, everybody has a desire. What actually defines us is our desire. What makes the difference between Joe and George? Desire. That's it. You want to know what people think? Desire. If you have no idea what they want, you have no idea who they are. Desire. Now, if I go after my desire, what happened? At that moment, I separate myself from the Creator. I'm no longer connected to the light because I'm busy with myself. Like selfish people think that they're going to be happy when their selfishness gets fulfilled. Whatever it is, food, sex, whatever it is. You know, ego. I fulfill it, I will be happy. I will fulfill it, I will be free. Right? What is a prisoner thinking about? Freedom. Getting out of prison. But the true freedom is to control my desire. If I can't control my desire, and the desire controlling me, I'm no longer connected to the source of beginning of all of it. I'm disconnected from everything. Right? You want to eat. You jump on the food. Why? My desire, want it. It's there. Let's do it. Oh, you're killing yourself. Killing. Once the desire been awake, say, I don't want it. Perfect. Why? Because I want to be like who? Like the endless light. I don't want to be like the receiver. I want to be like the giver. My origin, where I came from, my soul, my DNA, my soul. Where's my soul came from? Oh, it came from the endless. What was in the endless? Only giving. So every time I have an awakening of desire to take, grab me, and myself, every time I have that, I'm disconnecting myself if I apply to it from a source of goodness. For that reason, all selfish people are miserable. Miserable. Every time you act selfishly, you're miserable. Food, ego, recognition, sex, all of it. I want it, I want to get it. So, and the whole universe, the quantum, the global community, what is it serving you? Grab what you want, get what you want. You know, you go to work to get the money you want. You go out to get the guy you want, the girl you want. You know, it's all about grabbing thing. But here, you need to know where you come from. You gotta control the desire. If that desire controls you, you're no longer connected to the fulfillment. If you're no longer connected to the fulfillment, you're miserable and depressed and panic and all those other area of your life. Everything starts to go fall apart. And you don't see that there is a connection. So what are we doing here? When we do the spiritual work that we are doing, the purpose of the spiritual work is not to study. I have no more knowledge. It's also receiving. Everything we do, it's not for the study. It's not for becoming more intellectually smart about spirituality. It's about the study itself changing me. Changing what? Changing the concept that I don't want to receive, but I know that the endless want to give it to me, so now I'm going to have it. That transformation, if it doesn't happen, it's like a waste of this whole lifetime. No. Not nice thing. That's the whole reason humanity is here all day long. So ask yourself, are you in? Or are you just wasting another year, another 2 years? What are you doing all day long? Are you controlling the desire? Or the desire controlling you? When you want to eat, you eat. When you have opportunity to take, you take. Or you can control that take. And if you can't, then you... Does my dog know how to eat too? Big deal, eating. My dog know how to bark and scream and yell too. But that's not the mission of a dog. Neither the mission of the vegetables. Neither the mission of the mineral. Dog, animal can do sex, can eat, can do the whole thing. As a human, you need to work on, can I control? Can I control? And if I can control, then a person starts study. And when you study, the study itself, the energy, the light that comes from that study, to change that desire to receive for one, for me, for my selfish me, that's the only thing that separates, only, not two, think, not three, one. The only thing that separates me from the emanator, emanator referred to the force of light was giving, is by me thinking about me, so I have to transform that. Meaning, I have to change it. Not that I don't receive. Of course I receive the same or even more. But now I want to receive because I know how much pleasure is a gift to the giver. And if you don't do that, don't receive. Somebody offer you something. If you feel that there is a little bit attachment there, that has to do with you. Today, I had a meeting, early meeting on Rodeo. At 8:30, and a gentleman who drove me there for the meeting and then come back. And as we come back, he said to me, you know, Eliyahu, you know a lot of Kabbalah, there's a lot of Kabbalists that scared people about what's coming in China, and they're sending message on WhatsApp, and there's thousands of people like scared. And when people get scared, and I said to him, it's not my style. He said to me, why? I said, I know a lot of Kabbalists that when you create fear, it's a technique. It's a technique. What is the technique? When do you have more customers? When people are afraid. It's a no. Whatever it is, the mullah, or whatever it is, a priest or rabbi, I don't know, spiritual guru. Fear is the best sell. Right? I mean, what's the advertising you have? Most of the advertising you have on TV, pharmaceutical. Fear, you're going to create some disease. Cancer here, cancer there, cancer there. Now the Chinese disease, wow, everybody's panic. Nobody want to die. It's normal survival skills. And I heard good news, actually, before I start the class, that they start curing a lot of the people in China, more than the one that die. So it's 2,500 people start cure. So when we drive together, he said, listen, my rabbi is really his famous rabbi, and he put some fear on WhatsApp. And I said, listen, let's say we do that, and we get a lot of donation, and we change the world with the fear. Where is God in that? The rabbi become famous and a lot of money, but where is God? Do you see God in all of it? Or the rabbi scared you, the rabbi solved it, and that's it. You gotta bring God. In the end of the day, if you don't bring people back to the roots of what they are, we lost everything. Lost. I mean, we are not here to stay forever. We are here to educate the people and move on, and they educate their people. But we have to connect people to the original source. You connect to the rabbi, to the mullah, or the priest. It's not forever. It doesn't go anywhere. So fear, when somebody injects fear into you, you look for safety. What is fear exactly? It's creating emptiness within your vessel, within your receiving, and now you look for fulfillment. So what happened? The awakening, the receiving source within you, instead of, and through that you give money or some donation, but you don't give because you're nice. You give because you're afraid. And when you give because you're afraid, things start to go wrong. Because it's going back to the receiving. So every time you think about yourself, you disconnect yourself from the emanator, from the source of giving. When you study, itself, always remember that most people don't know it, most rabbis don't know that. When you study Torah, when you do the mitzvot, stop and say, that will change me from being a receiver to become a giver. That's it. Every time that you wash a hand before you do a motzi, or you do something, or you give charity, or you read a book, stop. Say, I'm not looking for the intellectual, because if you look for the intellectual, it's receiving too. You are looking not to be smarter. You look at the wisdom itself, not the wisdom intellectually. I want to make sure it's clear. The wisdom, the energy coming from that wisdom will transform me from being a receiver to become a giver. If we grasping it, that's more than most mullah and rabbi and priest and guru and everything. That, just that, by itself, you're already on top of the game. And you continue. And we call that levels dvekut. Dvekut means cleaving. You are cleaving to that source of energy. You become one with it. Because dvekut means cleaving, but it's also come from the word devek. Devek means glue. You glue yourself to that energy. You become one. Because you're acting like it. It's called the laws of affinity. The laws of affinity, if you want to become like the creator, you have to act as the creator. The creator is kind, you are kind. Creator is forgiving, you are forgiving. The creator give, you give. It's the same. You make a list of what the creator can be in your mind, and you act like it. It's called dvekut, cleaving. Or you stick yourself into it. And if you do that like that, then you're actually receiving, become a giving. Your receiving is no longer receiving, it's giving. Because why do you want to receive? Because you know how much pleasure the light has by giving it to you. So it's almost like you're going to, I don't know, Marrakesh in Morocco, and the lady make a whole table of 1 mile long of food, and she worked hard for that, and you're walking in, and you said, I'm going to eat. You're giving a pleasure now to the lady who hosts you in her house, or on the street, and by you eating, you give a pleasure to the giver. So who's the true giver now? The receiver. You grasping it? The receiver becomes the giver. So the entire existence, if you want to know what's the purpose of life, what's the purpose of life? That's, we just read the purpose of life. You want to know what that's? That's the entire purpose of life. To change the desire to receive for myself, to the desire to receive, to give pleasure to the creator. That's the entire why you are here. No other reason. Can you imagine? It's supposed to blow your mind. You're walking out of it. How you drive? To impress somebody? It's for yourself. You drive. I drive that you will be good. Because through that, I want to connect to the creator. Good for you. You can do even a mitzvah. You can do even good thing. But why are you doing the good thing? To impress. It's for yourself. You do the good thing because you want to connect to the divine. You got it. You're in. You wash hands. Shabbat. Sometimes we do meal. Yeah, big deal, you wash hands, you do motzi lechem in haaretz. It's so what? For you, because are you, the old Kabbalists say, are you blessing the food because you want to eat it? Or are you eating the food because you want to bless it? do you grasp it? Are you eating the food because you want to bless it? Or are you blessing the food because you want to eat it? What's your drive? Is your drive to grab it? Or is your, listen, I'm not hungry, but you know what? They say it's good to do a motzi so I can connect to the creator. So let me do a motzi. All, guys, it's a shift here. You understand? It's not easy. Not easy. Not easy. You know, people, you know, today in the dating system and in the sex system and the food system, it's all take. And if you study physics, you know that the atoms, the physical atoms, they can meet either by stealing from the other atoms or by merging. One is through love and one is by stealing one aspect. It's like this with life. What do you want to be? You ask yourself, why people are not happy? I know so many people I met in my life with the type of job I do. They have everything and they're miserable. But everything. include health, include amazing children, include beautiful home, money, fame, anything you can think about, they got it. Not happy. They don't even feel they have even 1 minute of happiness. How can that be? You tell me. Because all what they accumulate was by grabbing. So there is no energy in it. Cannot have energy in what you take. You can. C-A-M. You can have energy if you say, I don't want it, but you know what? Let me give a pleasure to the universe by giving it to me. So now you are receiving, but you are the biggest giver. Why? Because you don't want nothing. I don't want it. But you know what? Not nice to receive. I'm here to receive. That's what the Creator created me for. Okay. I'm going to have some food. Okay. I'm going to do some amotzi. Okay. You don't want it, man? Let me do it. So now you're doing it from a giving point, if you're not from a receiving. It's all... And I hope you're capturing it, because I want to move to a few more subjects. But this is... important. The Kvar Yadat El Ravash Lagrait, and you know already, Ishtavut Atzura, the affinity, Oser Ruchanim Le'echad. The affinity, you know, affinity makes spiritual thing into one. And then you, a one human being can bring the whole universe that was created thousands of years ago into one aspect that's all become one. So the importance of human being is so important. And that's why God created us with the most amount of desire to receive. We are the most selfish creature. People sometimes you see on TV, oh, human is so selfish, and dog is so nice. And what do you want from the dog? He was not created with the same desire as human. Don't compare. Dog doesn't have our desire. We have desire, let's say 100, dog has 20. Vegetables has 5, stone has nothing. So when you climb into the level of desire, a human has 100% pure desire. It's very difficult. Very difficult to say no to something. We always take. And you continue. We're going back now to understand the concept. Again, here we talk about before the creation of physicality. So when it's written that the creation took a place, Allah b'rtzono pashut livro. What is Allah? Perusha shenitala b'zikur v'dvikut ha'shek t'inna t'imtzen shiur r'tzon kabalut k'de l'ashvot v'otu l'aor ha'elyon. אף פעם שרצו לקבל שבאת נקרא מלכות, איזה הוא שמו, לא היה לו שום חיסרון מדבקות עם האור העליון, מחמת שינוי הצורה שבו, כי שד את עצמו להשוות צורתו אל האור העליון. So what does it mean in the endless? Let's go back now to a different concept. Forget humanity. Forget our planet. Forget Genesis or any religion. Forget, erase, erase. Forget God as you know God. Erase that too. What we stay with? We stay with the force that give, that's called endless light, and a force to receive called endless vessel. Setu, that's the whole picture. It's very difficult, again. And this is why we call that real Kabbalah, because without that you wouldn't understand nice and story of the Bible, but this is before, this is nothing exists. Beginning, seed, of DNA of everything. What happened there? That original desire, what was it made from? It made from light. Same DNA. One force give, one force receive. The force that receive had the DNA of a giver, but the force of receive was force to receive because the light want to give. You follow me? That force of receiving decided to do something called tzimtzum. Tzimtzum, the actual word tzimtzum, means contraction. It's almost like what the camera does. You know, when you want to take a picture, you have the, what do you call the thing that open and close?
Apparatus.
Huh?
Apparatus.
Apparatus?
The shutter.
The shutter.
Yeah.
The shutter, you know, open and close. That's called in Hebrew tzamtzam. Tzamtzam. Sometimes. Why? Because it's you monitor how much light will touch it all day in the film. That's called tzamtzam. So it's open and closed. So the desire to receive, the desire to receive, I want to say shatter, tzimtzem et atzmo, contract itself, restrict itself if you wish. receive less. Why? Because what's the difference between the light and the vessel? There's really no difference. The only difference, one is giving and one is receiving. That's why it's called E and its name are one. They're exactly the same thing. No difference between them. So if the force of receiving will contract itself from receiving, what we call tzimtzum, if you remember that word tzimtzum, that force of receiving become like the light. Become the same like the light. It's going back to what it was before. That force of receiving, you don't have to memorize that. We call it Malchut de Ensof. It's called Malchut of the Ensof. You don't have to memorize the words. It's good for you to know that. Or we could call it in a different language, Shmo, meaning his name. So when it says in Kabbalah, Allah, Birtzono Apashut, it elevated itself. Elevated mean that you went up. Now, remember, every time we use the word down, in Kabbalah, there is no up and down. There is no physicality. So up and down meaning up, less desire, down, more desire. So when it says that the receiver elevated itself up, that means he released his desire to receive. Release. He wanted to become like the Creator. And that's what Malchut the Ensof, Malchut of the Endless, which is called Ratzon Pashut, simple desire, get Nidbeka, it was a Dvekut, it became cleaving into the upper light by reducing, not canceling, reducing the desire to receive, as we explained. Very simple. וזה שאמר רב, and that's why Rabbi Isaac Luria say, צמצם את עצמו, שכל מידת שפה בבורא של קודם, זה מישהו רצה לקבל. Now, what does that mean, צמצום? How much light exists in the room if you close your eyes? How much light? Is it the same light or it's different light? What do you think? If I close my eyes now, is the light changing the room?
No.
But for me, it is. So when it says that Tzimtzemet Atzmo, say the vessel restricted itself, contracted itself, shattered itself, closed itself, it didn't change a thing in the Ashpa'a, in the influence of how much light gives, but it affects the receiver. When people don't have what they want, why is it? Something is wrong with the receiving in this life. I don't have what I wish for. Well, you don't want what you wish for. Very simple. Your desire has to be fixed. Fix your desire and everything. The flow will start coming. The flow is here. Whatever you talk about, money, kavod, respect, everything else. If you don't have where to put, you have this ball as a candy. This ball, intelligent, from the time of creation, try to imagine how far it goes. Knew that it will hold the candy today, and I will show it to you. Do you understand how far it goes? So the guy or the person who created it, okay, eventually had a consciousness via candy. Now, when that candy holder, let's say it will have a consciousness, say, I don't want to receive anymore. When I say I don't want to receive anymore, that's called contraction or restriction or tzimtzum. That means the fulfillment, the candy will still fly around, but the container will not have it. So when Malchut of Ein Sof restricts itself and reduces the desire, the light has to go away. It's a kind of a contradicted subject. In one way, if you want to become one with the light, you should have no desire. If you have no desire, you have no longer light. That contradiction is difficult on the brain of a human being to understand. Why is it so difficult? Because it seems like the vessel, the receiver, did a noble act. A noble act. I am actually want to become like the Endless. I want to have an affinity with the Endless. And for that reason, I am not going to receive anymore. And by me not receiving, I will become one with the Endless, because the DNA of the receiver and the DNA of the giver are the same DNA, no different. The only difference between one give, one receive. If I remove my receiving part, what happened? I become light again. Didn't happen. Didn't happen. The light withdraw from the receiver. Now, if you understanding this wisdom from a point of what's happening on the street and all this and that, you're not getting it. You're not getting it. I mean, you can relate it to your life, but if you're still busy with being selfish and want your life to be happy, forget about it. Forget about it. Purpose of life is one, happiness. If you look for something else, you're stupid, basically. That's, if somebody else look for something better than happiness, they're dumb. You're basically dumb. What is can be better than happiness? Money? Really? Would you change an hour of happiness for all the money in the world? Then you're dumb. Something's wrong with you. If this is worth the happiness, worth 1 billion for you? So there's endless amount. You know, happiness, that's light. That's light. That's the light. That's where you see the light. You don't see light in some little thing. And I'm not saying don't be rich. Be, have billions of dollars, no problem. But don't expect the billion of dollars to make you happy. After you make first billion, now I'm supposed to be happy. Right, I'm 54, what's going on? Nothing going on. Or you won't be respectful. Now I'm going to be happy. No, it's not your goal. Your vessel is a different vessel. Your vessel won't draw money. Have money. Your vessel won't draw kavod, respect. Draw respect. Your vessel won't draw recognition. Recognition. But can you imagine if you change your vessel to draw happiness? Endless amount of fulfillment. Because the true essence of humanity, I don't think there is anything else in this universe than being happy. For that reason, many people have the money, have the respect, but they're not happy because they never thought about the happiness as a goal. They think about everything as a goal, but not happiness. Not happiness. So people get, what's the word for that? They get what they want, but they don't get fulfilled. You know? People really, it's very easy to get what you want. If you want to be rich, you sit with me, I teach you how to be rich. But you're not going to be happy with the money. You know? You want to be happy, it's all your technique. It's a self-control. What do you want to ask, Rob?
So, if I change the consciousness of my desire, which you're supposed to have desire, right? But if I use that desire to receive something so I can give back...
No. That's all. That's all the nonsense that spiritual organization will tell you. Have $1 billion and then give back. That's nice. That's not the goal. Nothing. You want nothing. Why God cannot give the $1 billion to the poor people in Africa? He need you?
No.
Does he need you? No, I'm asking a question. Does God need you?
No.
So why do you want to receive anything?
But then there was...
No, but why do you want to receive anything? You say, I want to receive so I can give.
Well, because by giving to others...
No, but nobody needs you to give either. Where is God in the picture? He's gone to Mexico? Why do you want to receive? Why?
Because I'm the giver to give back.
Why? But God can give it. Forget what? I'm going to do it.
He hasn't.
Yeah, he hasn't. He did. Maybe some people like you disturb him. Because they want to do it themselves.
But isn't that a desire to give?
No, there's nothing giving. It's ego. It's ego. You know, I want to receive. Why those rich people have to make the first billion they go to Africa to give? Build a home for the people. They have nothing to do with it. They have no happiness. They're empty. This whole thing is empty. So at least they feel good about giving. All those tennis players, basketball players, so they walk in Africa in, what's it called, Malawi. Malawi it's called. And they're saving the people. And then they come up with a better idea. Let's raise money. We're going to save this little Africa and we're actually going to make money on top of it. Did anything happen in Africa the last 30 years? I saw nothing. I was involved in a lot of raise money though. It's for the people who give. The receiver never get. You wanna make the receiver really go next level. Can I teach this? Hey, man, receive nothing, but you want to receive because you know the Creator have a pleasure to give. So now you connect to what? To the Creator. When you want to accumulate things, whatever you accumulate is totally disconnected from the Creator. You don't want to be, nobody care about God. People go pray there, you see them with yarmulke, with cross, with what else? Mula, with yoga and guru. Da, 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 da. Everybody feel their own ego. Me. And they know that God giving gift. Oh, God is giving gift. Oh, da, 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 da. You see people ever walk here on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Oh, please, God, forgive me. And after Yom Kippur, let's kill again. What happened? Because they know God give gift today. If God give gift, I'm in. Is anybody care to have a little relationship with God? Try to think of God as a little human being. Try to, just for the story. And you need to be his friend. And you meet him on a day, he doesn't give gift. You meet him on a day that it's not Rosh Hashanah, it's nothing, nothing going on. It's a Wednesday night. There's nothing going on. God, you know, I think I'm going to see you Rosh Hashanah, God. I mean, I know you're busy, so I'm going to just check, go to Real Food Daily, get a sandwich. People don't want a connection with God. They don't. They want to accumulate where the $1 billion came from? Who give you oxygen to breathe? Who make your brain function? So this whole gift of life was for you to practice non-receiving. Not, I'm going to take $1 billion and then I'm going to give one. Yeah, it's nice. It's good. It's noble. I mean, what are you going to do with your ego after you give? Another receiving. People sometimes go at a table. I take off the bill. You know, I take care of the bill. Very nice act. Take care of the bravo. So, but this person has ego. Doesn't matter what you do. You feel nice. Once I feel nice, I feel me. I don't feel God. Everybody getting it? Even if it was Rob, I feel me. So I don't feel, there is no, no. So here what Rav Ashlag is teaching us, something huge concept. The beginning of everything, even happiness. I don't want happiness, but I know God give as a pleasure to give happiness. God, I'm going to ask for happiness because I know how much pleasure you have giving it to me. Story that can make you understand that Rav Brandon used to tell that story here before Rav Ashlag. He writes like that. A very wealthy man wants to give to a poor man. He accumulates a lot of money. He wants to give. He goes, those of you who know in New York, he goes on 46th Street next to 47, next to the diamond industry. He finds this poor man. I found a customer, the rich man said. He stopped the limousine, he get out, say, hey, poor man, come in. I'm going to get you to a nice hotel, get you some shower, shave you, you know, take care of you, and leave you with some cash. Come in. The poor man looked at the rich man and said, I don't want to go with you. So the guy goes with the limousine looking for another poor, no poor in the neighborhood, doesn't know what to do. Next day, he going back to the poor. So what's going on? I'm a good salesman. This guy doesn't listen. So he go back, say, hey, listen, you don't want to shave? He said, I don't want, leave me alone. He said to the wealthy man, leave me alone. Go back to the car, and it bothered him for 1 week. He couldn't give to a poor man. She's thinking, he doesn't know what to do. After 1 week, he go back to the poor man, and this time he sit on the floor with him and said, what do you want? He look at the rich man and said, no, listen, I need you to help me. So what do you need? So I want to give, but I can't find somebody who can receive for me. So I want to give a shower to somebody. I want to shave you. I want to take care of you. So, well, if that gives you a pleasure, said to the rich man, then I'm going to come with you. That story is supposed to make you understand our relationship to the Creator, the rich man being the Creator, the poor man being us. So we don't want nothing, but we know how much pleasure it's given to the rich man above. So, okay, let me have the money. Let me have the $1 billion. Let me have the happiness. Okay, let me have long life. Let me have all of it, because I know how much pleasure is giving who? That. And when you receive like that, what you become? You become the endless itself. You become the light, because you are the giver. God is actually the receiver, and you are the giver. You're changing the setting. And by the way, if you want to learn true business, when you do business, if you really reach that level, that you want nothing from the other person, the whole business become you're the giver, you're never going to end up with the wrong business deal. Because you don't want nothing. Because I see a lot of time people study how to manipulate people, how to seduce people, and we are not here to change them. Because they're going to end up always in the piece that don't belong to them. Every time you seduce a person, or you manipulate a person, you end up with something that really not belong to you. When you end up with something that don't belong to you, 1 point, 10 years later, you're going to look at it. My God, what am I doing? This is wrong. But if you say, I don't want it, I don't want benefit, but I know how much pleasure is give to the person to give me, why not? You know, after Debbie gave birth to my son Michael, so again, it was a difficult time for giving birth. Debbie was in danger, and she decided to cook me something from Italy. At that time, Debbie's busy with Michael. She bought this book from the village of Florence. And in those days, Debbie in cooking was not exactly the endless and the vessel. You know, it was they have disagreement a little bit. So I come home from New York. I remember Michael is a baby. I was traveling a lot in those days. And I'm arriving, and there's a dish. My wife make a dish. She had time to make me food. And I see the book, very respectful book, from a real source of Florence, Italia. Florencia. But what can I say? What can I do? The potato is not cooked yet. What can I do? And the leaves, I don't know, I think it's called bay leaf. I don't know if you know what it is. Yeah. So bay leaf have to be long time cooked to bring the flavoring. The bay leaf, and I cook for many years, so I look at the bay leaf, they're pretty much alive, which means they're sitting there strong. And then, but we have to look like we're receiving, because I see how much pleasure. Okay, am I talking to me? What's wrong with my phone every time I talk? Shh. So, as I'm receiving, then I get to the meat. We got a problem there. Got a problem, very problem. So, the beauty about it, I don't know how to get out of the situation because I have to receive, and I know that knowledge is for to give pleasure to the creator of the food. And I'm looking, I said, God, help, help. But she was able to read my mind. She looked at me, so you enjoy yourself, right? You did it by yourself? Those of you who know my sense of humor, usually if you know me well, I would say, what happened? Was the cookbook was next to the fence or the pages went through and you mixed up? Usually I would say it, but we were newly married, we were 2 years and a half married. It was new, so those of you who know, the first 2 years, it's a little bit, you walk in an action, you gotta be careful not to say and to do. And after a baby, I don't know if you understand the hormones, those of you, you don't do wrong mistake. Then she looked at me, it was a very important moment of my life, and she say, you want to go to Haifa? Haifa, it's a restaurant on, where is it, on Pico? On Pico, it's a little small restaurant, like hummus and chicken. And the way I answer, she always remind me, I said, yes, Haifa's great, great, great idea. I want to go to Haifa, yes. And then we laugh so much for 1 hour, we're eating and we're laughing. And she always said, why didn't you tell me? I said, how can I tell? I mean, that's the receiving, that's a pure receiving. For the sake of sharing, you gotta chew the potato, make some noise like an apple. And it was the most beautiful receiving for the sake of sharing. Now, when my wife, blinara, she touched the pot only and she put the thing inside, it's without nothing, it become like a dish. You know? It's a different time and different concept, but you all have opportunity to receive for the sake of sharing with people. You all have it. I don't know who is your friend, who is your family. We have an opportunity to receive. You know, I'm not always good in it. I mean, for my birthday, God bless my son, he tried to be nice. He bought me an electric guitar. Because he remember when foreigner gave me a guitar, Debbie needed at that time something, so she had to sell it. Doesn't matter, for the sake of sharing. So he bought me a guitar, and I look at the guitar and say, I don't need a guitar. I returned the guitar, and he was very sad. So I didn't act like receiving for the sake of sharing. and then I came back home. So we all gonna do this mistake, but just look at life. Look at life and opportunity where you can receive for the sake of sharing. And when you grab selfishly what you want, you know, it's a lot. And in America, it's much easier to do that, by the way. In America, the culture, the American culture is polite. It's nice. It's with manners. You know, if I take you to the Tikva, it's an area in Tel Aviv, I will have to take you there one time to eat. The idea is a family. It's all yalla. I don't know if you understand. Yalla, grab the pita. You know, it's like attack. That's what we call it. Attack, you know. And then whatever you can get, and then if there is missing of food, we order more. It's a different culture. It's not a bad or good. It's just... So I always say, whoever lives in Israel and is still spiritual, for me is righteous. Righteous. It's a Kabbalist for me. It's so difficult. You guys, if you understand the language when you're there, it's a very difficult for Israeli to come to America. For us, it's like 90% less pressure. 90%, not 50, 90. It's like, huh? Wow, that's it? Really? There's no test. You know, when we go there, you ask every Israeli, then it starts, it's fun, you have the same language, but then the pressure begins. How you drive? Because try to imagine the land itself of Israel is receiving Malchut. The people who born in Israel is also Malchuyot. They're all receivers. So the whole entity is receiving. It's all taken. For that reason, the Ari said when a person moved to Israel, after 6 months, they change their soul. They take the old soul, they throw it to the garbage, and they give the person a new soul. Now, if you did a lot of good things, it's not worth it. Because when you move to Israel, the good, bad, all going, they give you a new soul. So if you did terrible here and you move to Israel, they throw all the negativity, and you restart everything from scratch. For that reason, when the Ari moved to Israel, what happened to him? When the Ari moved to Israel, he lost all his knowledge. He moved from Egypt. He was half Ashkenazi, half Egyptian. So he moved from Egypt to Israel. When he moved to Israel, he had to restart everything again. So I'm just telling you what is receiving for the sake of sharing. I want to take everything. How much I want to have? 1 billion. 1 billion. That's my number. 1 billion or 71 million. Those of you heard some of my other lectures. I want 71 million. But I don't want the 71 million so I can give in Africa. I can give that. I know that's how much pleasure the Creator want to give. That I can understand. I understand the Creator want to give me 71 million. And I'm going to create a vessel to receive that. Truly, I need less than that. And I want less than that. But you have to receive more because you know how much the Creator want to give you. If you can think about more, that's when you actually growing spiritually. Because a lot of time people think rich person, spiritual person are not a match. Not true. Not true at all. Not true at all. Moses was rich. Rabbi Isaac Luria was rich. They were very wealthy. But they were not wealthy to be wealthy. They were wealthy for giving, for the sake of sharing with the Creator. So it's important that we fully understand that, because that's it. So when we talk about the endless, now this is our life. Now in the endless, the original receiver want to become like the giver. So it elevates itself to become like the giver. That elevation called tzimtzum, contraction, restriction, shatter, whatever you want to call it. But it has to change one thing. I don't want to receive. But by the vessel in the end say, I don't want to receive, what happened? The light was not giving. The light can only give you if you want. That's our operation. Operation is very simple. And deep, it will be very hard to understand and to agree with it. Deep inside of you, the only reason you have what you have and you don't have what you don't want to have is because your capacity or your desire is not big. That's it. So you cannot blame nothing. If you go on the list of your life and you look at what is it you don't have and what is that you have, it's exactly what you're capable to receive or what you want to have. So we continue. We need to remember that the desire in the endless is not something that we can understand by this universe. Because the desire in the endless doesn't make a difference between the giver and the receiver. So we don't totally can grasp it. Because in this universe, the receiver and the giver are different. in the endless, before this creation of this universe, the giver and the receiver was made from the same DNA. For that reason, when we talk about the receiver in the endless, do not look at it less than the giver. And to build this desire, you have to go to 4 stages. We're going to go through that next week again, Bli Neder. The reason we're going through that a lot, because that's the foundation of the entire study. The 4 phases is the foundation of the whole study. Why? Because the 4 stages are the 4 stages how the desire came about. Why is it so important to study it? What's the name of this knowledge? Kabbalah. Kabbalah. Kabbalah means receiving. How is receiving came about if everything was giving? That's the study. The reason you need 4 levels of desire, you need to memorize this by heart, 2 a.m., 3 a.m. This is memorized. After you memorize 1,000 times, then you listen to it 1,000 times, then you study 1,000 times, until it's come to you like that. You need to memorize everything that I say in this section. So you have to study it. Hopefully you hear the audio, you can study it. No, or the video. When was exact the Ratzon Lekabel, the desire to receive, came about? הנהו נכלל תכף עם התפשטות האור מהשורש, שם זה מבחן שיצא מהאור מהמעציל, וקנענו בשם עצמו, דיינו התפשטות מהמעציל. If you remember, last time we talked about creator, essence of the creator, level 1, creator, level 2, essence of the creator, level 3, the endless, or the light of the endless, the endless vessel, okay? And then all the name of God as we're familiar with, okay? Tell us, Rav Ashlag, in the name of Rabbi Isaac Luria, itpashtut me'amatzil, if there is an emanator, and there is an extension of light coming from the emanator, we don't know nothing about the emanator, we know nothing about the creator, we only know that there is some energy came from there. That energy that came from there, it's called light. If that light came from there, it has to be, say Rav Ashlag again, in the name of Rabbi Isaac Luria, that within that extension of light that came from the emanator, there is already a desire to receive within it, because it was, if it will not be desire to receive within it, it will stay as part of the creator. Tell me if you got it. I can repeat it 1,000 times. It's one of my favorite parts. Again, I repeat it. If something leaves something, that means there is something different about it. In the laws of spirituality, everything stays the same, if it's the same. But if something is no longer there and it moves, not move physically, move spiritually, move, meaning going to different levels, that light, that extension from the endless, has within it already a desire to receive. What do you call that extension coming from the creator? That's called the endless light. So now you're telling me that within the endless light there is already a receiving? The answer is yes. 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 Everything is level. Everything is relative. So sometimes you look at the endless light as an emanator, and sometimes it is emanated. Because if the level above that is Bore, creator, it's emanated because it's related to that. Everything is levels. Now, we don't know anything about the creator. We don't know nothing about the essence of the creator. We only know about the light as an extend that comes from the endless. That's it. We call it endless for a reason, because endless. What is endless? The only thing we know about the endless, that there is no end there. But do we know what it is? No. What do you know about the essence of the creator? Nothing. Creator, nothing. It's all axiom. Below that, we start meaning the light that comes from the endless, and that light, as it comes to an expression in until this universe, has names. We call it God. Elohim, Adonai, Yudkevav. Those are the name of God that we're familiar with. What are those names? They are basically how the light comes into expression all the way down. So once you know the names, where they belong to each level, you would know exactly who you're talking to. You can dial 1-800 not God, and God will never answer. But if you have the right code to know exactly what to dial, you always connect. It's all about knowing where it is. If you don't know, it's not happening.
Doesn't matter. I believe. You believe in what? You don't even know what's going on. What are you believing in? Without Kabbalah, without the knowledge of Kabbalah, without this essence of Kabbalah, you don't even know what you're connecting to. You believe. So you don't have to believe. You have to know and then believe. Most people believe without knowing. It's nice. It's nice. It's noble. It's great. It's a good concept. It sells well. You can bring fear. And then I say, believe. And then I bring fear. And then I say, believe. It's going nowhere. But if I tell you, let me teach you. Don't you want to know what's happening? After you know, you choose if you want to believe or not. If you know well, of course you're going to believe. And if you will believe and know, what are you afraid of? So all, I don't want to say religion because it sounds really bad, but the only way maybe you can understand it. I'm not against religion, but sometimes I would say religious leaders get people more away from knowing the source than connect to the source. Because they want people to believe in what they have to say. I don't want you to believe me. Disagree with me as much as you can. But go home and investigate the subject and study it. I'm not here to convince you if it's true or not true. I'm here to share with you an opinion, a knowledge that was written 500 years ago and then in 1922. That's it. You do with it whatever you want. We're not here to become a believer. If you need to become a believer, that means something's off. Some people say, I think I'm start believing in the Torah. Usually if I'm in a good mood, I will tell you, well, my Torah feel much better now. I want to tell you, since you become a believer, I feel the Torah twitch a little bit like that after you believe. Beautiful. So, believe. What is believe? Believe. I believe. I believe it's 5 o'clock. That's when you have doubts if it's 5 o'clock, right? I believe. Everybody with a believing system. Everything on TV, I'm trying to find some speaker to see what they say. It's all about belief. And when they have nothing to do, they throw a big name, Jesus or Moses or Muhammad. They have nothing to do, throw out something. What happened in Iran now, right? Some of you are Iranian. What happened in Iran? People want to force the people to believe. 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 But we are now in a generation of transparency and knowledge. I want to know what's going on. No. Believe. Just believe. Believe is to shut me down. I want to know. I don't have to agree with you. You don't have to agree with me. But I give you the knowledge. You do whatever you want. You know? If people believe in me or don't believe in me, they have the right to believe or not to believe. They have the right to disagree or agree. But my job is to give knowledge. You take the knowledge, play with it how you want. Maybe turn you to become a believer. Maybe turn you not become a believer. I know a guy used to study this knowledge with me, become a great rabbi, unbelievable rabbi, one of the top motivator and speaker and everything, changed thousands of people away. Something happened with his belief system, and porek ol, I don't know the words, it's like he took all the bags out. I don't know how to explain it. Like in Hebrew it's called porek ol. No, porek ol is when you have a heavy bag that you carry for the name of spirituality, then he threw it all out. I know a few people like that. So I called him because I felt bad. I said, man, Sam, you? So I left everything. I don't study. I don't want to know this, that. I don't believe in it anymore. So forget belief. So the one thing he does makes me so happy. He studied that. He doesn't do nothing. Like the guy was like a rabbi, you know, tefillin and everything. Nothing. Zero. This he continued to study. I said to Debbie, there is hope. Then another guy become great, left everything. So I said, you know, forget. Don't believe in nothing. Those of you who know, you never saw me in act, how I work with people who are far away. I said, get this. Get this, it will find you in a way. Get you to knowledge. Because it's written, if somebody studied this for 1 hour, 1 hour, it clean 1 year of negativity. Even if you don't understand, by the way, 1 year of negativity, I mean, it's just all I have to do, stay awake, let the knowledge wash you, and you get out like you did in mikveh. All Kabbalists will tell you this. When you study this type of study, not every study, this type of study, clean of 1 year, laundry of 1 year. So it's worth it. You come, wash, goodbye. I didn't understand anything, but at least I'm washed. Okay, I was there, you know.
So we need to study next time more about the four levels. So there is a four level. The first level, itpashtut or bina matzil, is when the light extend out of the emanator, and he by the kanal Hashem b'fnei atzmo da'im itpashtut b'matzil. We call that level itpashtut b'matzil, spreading out from the emanator. וכל שלא נכלל בו השינוי הצורה של הרצון לקבל, זה שאתה מבחינת מעצילו. That extension, until it didn't develop a true desire, we still call it emanator and not emanated. ולא מבחינת התפשטות, אני אתקד ויוצאת מהמעציל. And we don't call it as spreading out, that come out from the emanator. כי ברוחני, בקודם ספיריטואלית, לא יוצא רשום עם זה לצורה, לזה שינוי צורה. אמנם כל מה כיוון שאין גילו לרצון הזה בכוח הנאצל, גופי אינו עדיין קבעו בנאצל. And until that extent of desire that's supposed to be developed eventually to true desire. Now, what does that mean, true desire? If I give you a medicine and you don't want it, and I push the medicine into your mouth, that's not a true desire. A true desire happens when you truly want it. If you truly want it, that's a true desire that came from the emanated. But if I'm giving it to you and that's why you're receiving it, that's not a true desire.